Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Vancouver, British Columbia country artist Karen Lee Batten is a three-time winner of the British Columbia Country Music Association's Female Vocalist of the Year, 2004, 2005, and 2006. Karen released her debut album, Every Moment, in December of 2005, and that featured the single Hearts on the Run. The video received airplay on CMT. Karen is now getting set to release a new album, and the first single is called Cause a Scene, and it's now at country radio. The video for the song was directed by award-winning director Stefano Barbaris. My pleasure to welcome back, after a long absence, Karen Lee Batten. Hey, Karen.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing terrific. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's been a while. It definitely has. When was the last time we spoke? Probably a few years back now, hey?
It was sometime in 2010, believe it or not.
Wow. Well, thank you for having me back. It's awesome to have a new single out, a new project that we're working on. So it's awesome to be able to connect with people that, you know, like yourself, that I've spoke with a few years back, and kind of get things gearing up again and going. It's really exciting.
Well, yeah, it is pretty exciting. I mean, the video is available online for people to check out, and it is a great one. There's a lot of fun. It's one of those songs where I'll let you talk about the song, but it's called Cause a Scene, which is exactly what the video and song are about.
We had a good time. I laughed because the video is just so much fun, and that was the whole point, was we were just trying to, I don't know, just make light of situations that sometimes can feel, you know, pretty heavy in life, and, you know, everybody goes through their moments, whether it's their relationship or, you know, whatever the case may be. It might be money, it might be, you know, this or that or whatever, family situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the premise of the song is based around a girl that was, you know, dating a guy, and then I guess he left, and now he's getting married. It's, you know, however long down the road, and he's getting married, but the girl isn't necessarily over it yet. And so she's, you know, she wants to cause a little bit of a scene. She doesn't want him back, but she wants to cause a scene. And so I get to play the narrative part, which is good, because the actors and actresses, they did so amazing in it, and so I'm glad that was their part of the video. But we definitely had a few laughs. There's a part in the video where the girl gets on top of the car and she's screaming and yelling, and I am so glad that the rest of the world wasn't necessarily there in that part, because it was not all PG.
Oh, okay.
But it was, you know, it's fun being on set and kind of watching it all go down and seeing where people grab their energy from, and, you know, just watching the story and the creation all come together. And Stefano's unbelievable, and, you know, everything that he puts out is just such a great, fantastic creation, and his artwork is just amazing. So to have him there and to be able to work with him on that, it was definitely an honor, and he's been a friend of mine for years and years. So finally we got to do a video together, and I hope everybody tunes in and watches, and we just might blow up a car, you know, we just might.
Just might, stay tuned. I love it, you know. Stefano has, as you said, I mean, he's directed so many videos for country artists and so many award-winning videos. He obviously knows what he's doing. We can tell when we watch the videos. And he always has something new and fresh in each video he does.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know where he gets it all. You know, it's funny because it's such a different world than what I'm in, you know, mine is either writing or, you know, or appreciating other people's writing, and then kind of going in and being able to collaborate with amazing musicians and kind of build a project that speaks to me, and then I can hopefully, you know, hopefully it speaks to everybody else as well, and that's kind of my world. And then I go, okay, well, now it's time for a video, and, you know, it's different being independent, too, because I'm making the choices, right?
So,
you know, and I kind of look around and go, okay, now it's time for a video, and, you know, who's it going to be? And obviously, you know, being friends with Stefano for so long and seeing all the amazing videos that he's put out, that for me was a no-brainer, and I just kind of look and go, my goodness, And he kind of looks at me and goes, well, yeah, but this is what I do, you know? And so it's interesting. I love that about life and about this industry is I'll look at an amazing musician, you know, like somebody who plays Hammond organ or, you know, a banjo player or harmonica. Yeah. Or, you know, I went to the Blues Traveler concert the other day and just looked at the, you know, looked at him and he's on stage and he's just going crazy on the harmonica and you just look and go, wow, like that's amazing. I can only attempt to do that. And that's how I look at, you know, Stefano too, like all the different degrees of specialties that people, you know, come to the table with. It just is mind blowing. And people will come to me, you know, and say, oh my word, how did you do this? And I said, my gosh, I didn't. You know, it's a huge team of amazing talent, and I'm just one tiny little piece of that, you know, puzzle or square, you know, that comes in on my little angle and does my thing, but all it's everybody, it's not me, you know.
And the reason why Stefano is so great at this and the artist you saw at the Blues Traveler concert, not only the talent, but they love what they do, and that goes for you as well. When you love what you do and you're good at it, you're going to excel, and you get in that zone where time kind of stands still because you're creating something, and it's amazing.
That's just it. Exactly. And I'm so lucky, and I really mean that, as cheesy as that sounds. I think any artist that says it truly really means it. Like, we're so lucky and blessed to be able to do this. You know, mm-hmm. and that I get to get up every morning and, hey, it's not all flowers and peaches, you know, like it's like you have your days when you go, oh, my word. But, you know, you just keep up. I got to just keep going and keep, you know, plugging through and battling on. And even though, like even in my own career there, you know, I had to take a couple of years and just kind of ponder what I really wanted to say in the next release. And I'm glad that I did. And some people might, you know, kind of go, oh my word, she's kind of like MIA for a little bit, but it's okay. Like I still played a lot of live and really kind of wanted to figure out what it was who I was to the industry and who I am to myself and who do I want to be and what do I want to portray. And, you know, kind of going into it that way and being able to do this independently and being able to do this every single day and wake up and know that this is what I do, you know, whether it's in front of a computer or trying to get gigs or, you know, or going to the recording studio or sitting with you and talking with you. I mean, how wicked is that, that I get to get up in the morning and that is what I call my job. You know,
pretty
and
amazing.
It is a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Right, right. Now, when you were approaching the album that we're going to be talking about, what was your game plan? Did you, as far as, let's talk about the songs first, did you have a bunch of songs that you were either a writer on or some outside songs that you had that you were working on narrowing down, or how did that whole side of things come along?
Yeah, I have some really cool people that I've stayed in touch with and that I get to call my friends down in Nashville that are part of really great publishing companies. And they constantly are sending me things, whether I'm in need of it or not. They, you know, if they think that my voice would be great on it, they'll send it to me. And there are some, I mean, it's totally normal in this industry to have things pitched at you and you might look at some and go, awesome song. Kudos to the artist, but it's not really where I'm at right now.
Right.
And I kind of might put that aside. And it's funny, Dave, that you asked me that too, because there were a few things that I put aside even from my last album that I re-looked at and went, oh my word. And I think I chose one or even two from things that didn't necessarily apply to me back then that applied to me now.
Interesting.
And so I just kind of, you know, it's just kind of a matter of where I am in my life and knowing that these are songs that I want to, from the bottom of my heart, sing for the rest of my life. And so, you know, I choose based on that I'm going to want to get up on stage and it will truthfully come from my heart. If I didn't write it, I need to be able to feel it as if I did. And hopefully honor that writer or multiple writers who wrote it. The song that we just released, Cause a Scene, is actually co-written by Tebe, Jason Blaine, and Brian Wayne Galantine, and two of which are Canadian. And you know, it's exactly that. I just hope by doing these songs, whether it's written, whether I wrote them or whether I have other writers on them, and they can sit back and go, hey, that person did the song justice. That's my goal. And
yes.
And hopefully I can pump it out there as if people go, oh, my gosh, did you write that? I love hearing that. And I love being able to say, as a matter of fact, these guys, you know, they wrote it. And if they're saying it about something that I wrote, I love it just as much, being able to say, yep, I wrote it, and here's why, and here's where it came from. You know, I think there's a lot of people believe, and I totally understand where they're coming from, but a lot of people believe that you should be writing the majority of what you're singing. And I totally understand that. For me, sometimes I'm in a creative mood and sometimes I'm not. And I love things that I write, and I love it when other people sing the things that I write, and I also do as well. But I also am not going to compete with things that I have written and I'm looking at building an album. If there are songs that other people have written that I feel like those songs are just, they're right here in my hand, and they've been pitched to me, and I'm looking at one that I've written, and I'm looking at this one that they've written, and if I feel that says something better, or I can, you know, sing, and if I feel like I can sing the crap out of it, you know, then I will absolutely choose that before I choose my own, and just hope that at some point that my own will be on, you know, something else, or it'll be an addition somewhere else, or, you know, and it's just, I think it's all about building a catalog. I think what they say is, you know, for every 100 songs you write, there's a hit, you know, so gives you a little bit of perspective, and I'm just grateful to the pitches that have been given to me with, I think, some really fantastic material. I'm really hoping that the public feels that way, and that I can, you know, it's my job to get the emotion and the point across of all the songs and hopefully hit heartstrings if it's that type of song, or get people moving and dancing if it's that type of song. You know, the another song that we have going on the album is called Life Worth Living, and that one's also Jason Blaine, and then Marley Scott wrote it, and it's just, I feel like it's a, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a warm song, I'll put it that way. It's really a,
pulls
at your heartstrings a little bit and kind of makes you open your eyes, and yeah, it's definitely a very fun time when you're collaborating and building a record. That's the most fun that I have is that, and getting in studio and being with all these musicians, kind of putting it all together, you know?
And we're going to talk more about the album in just a moment. And in fact, I've got that song Life Worth Living as part of the show, so that's coming up. People can stay tuned for it. We're going to play Cause a Scene now. When you sing the song, a lot of attitude in it, Karen, when you're on stage performing or even in the studio, of course, do you have to put on that attitude, that defiant attitude that you are, this is happening to you?
Well, it's fun, you know. I love energy behind songs, and it doesn't always have to be a huge, like, upbeat, you know, big festival rock, like, party song for it to have a lot of energy. So whether it's a, you know, a powerhouse kind of a ballad, or, you know, or a two-step and dance tune, and, you know, you're at, like, Nashville North, I mean, I love those gigs, too, being able to play, like, the Nashville North stage at Calgary Stampede. You know, this song, Cause a Scene, is a different type of energy, and yeah, it is a little bit of acting when you are on stage, but it's not hard for me to drop into those different energies. I mean, I kind of will pull from experiences in my own life while I'm on stage, and, you know, if I need to get riled, I might think of something that's, you know, kind of done that to me in the past, or if I need to kind of go to a bit of a, you know, more emotional place, you know, we're all artists, you know, so artists have no problem pulling from different emotions, whether they're happy, sad, angry, you know, it doesn't really matter what that is. And I just think then we express through our own, you know, vocal ability the way that we need to when we are pulling from those emotions. And when it comes to Cause a Scene, it's a lot of fun, whether I'm doing it, you know, sometimes I have to perform that song like in an acoustic duo, and, you know, whether it's for radio or whether it's like on stage in acoustic, and people will just kind of giggle because it's normally in a full band, big band, you know, sound. And it's fun no matter if it's that way or an acoustic duo is, you know, it's I still feel like I'm rocking out, you know?
Let's hear the song now, a great one. It's brand new from my guest, Karen Lee Batten. This is Cause a Scene on In the Country.
Well, it's all her fault, 'cause she stole my man. With her press on nails, push up bra and spray on tan. I'm past the tears, don't want him back. Just want her to know that I ain't going out like that. I'm fighting mad, this is gonna be bad. Says, does anyone object? Maybe I'll storm down the aisle and scream hell yeah. Or better yet, I'll wait in line, introduce her dress to my full glass of cheap red wine. Start a little cat fight. No, it ain't right.
A great new song from my guest, Karen Lee Batten. That is called Cause a Scene. You'll learn more about her at KarenLeeBatten.com. Man, that is so much fun. Who's producing that hot track there?
His name's John Ellis. I'm sure lots and lots of Canadians know who he is. He's produced many, many bands, Doc Walker, Tar Orem, Ridley Bent, and on it goes. He's definitely a very talented man.
Nice. When is the album expected to be released for all of us to hear?
We're going to release it in May. I'm so excited.
Oh, coming up not too far from now. That is so exciting. Coming up in May now, Jimmy Rankin was on the show the other night, and we talked about sequencing, putting the album together. It's an iTunes world to a certain degree with singles and people mixing and matching their songs, but he
yeah.
still likes to sequence his album so that there's a pace to it, a couple of up-tempos, then you slow things down, and you're taking somebody on a journey from the first song to the last. Is that something that you like to do as well, Karen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really important that the moment somebody puts that CD in, or if they've got it on a flash drive or whatever order they've decided to put it in. If it's in the order that we've kind of put together and chosen, you definitely want to create an emotion, you know? For me, I love having the first song be that song that you want to drive down the road and, you know, you're doing the beat on your steering wheel or, you know, you're belting it out and singing at the top of your lungs while other people are watching you look hilarious in your vehicle. You know, that's what I imagine the first song should look like.
Right.
But you, you know, you definitely want to create a little bit of a roller coaster, you know, and have those, have all the emotions, but kind of go in order where you're kind of going back up again after you might have been, you know, a little more somber. And the point is to cause an emotion, you know, whatever that emotion may be. The point is to create a feeling within each person. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, you or the next person what that feeling should be. But when I'm on stage or, you know, like you said, in sequencing, I feel like if I've kind of thrown out that emotion and somebody on the other side can feel whatever it is that touches them, you know, then that's a feel good for me. That's when I know that that I'm doing what I should be doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, can you give us any hints, aside from the two songs on the show today, about what we're going to hear on the album? Anything that might surprise us or just any songs that are quite special to you?
Well, I don't know that there's going to be anything that – well, actually, there might be a song that would surprise you. Actually, I'm going to think of it. We redid, and this is so funny. John Ellis is hilarious. He just cracks me up. Again, he's the guy who produced the album. I came into studio one day, and he said to me, "Oh my gosh, I've been wanting to do this song forever, and I haven't really known who I would want to get it, you know, to record it. Is there any way that you would do this?" And I'm going, Okay, let me listen to it. So him and I sat down together, and I kind of started to sing along with the track because I knew it, but I didn't know every word to it, but it definitely was a song that was familiar with me. And he said, "No one's ever redone this song before," and on he went. And then I went, "You know what, John? I'm going to do this." And we actually ended up covering a Doobie Brothers song.
Oh, wow.
So definitely takes everybody back a bit, but...
Cool.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite tracks on the album, and it's super bluesy. So if I could say anything's different from one album to the other, it definitely has a little bit more of that grit, soul, kind of bluesy with a little bit of rock, which you can hear in that last track. There's a few tracks like that on there as well. And then there's like some, you know, there's some good two-steppers in there as well. So it gives you a little bit of a mix, but my voice is kind of a little more of that, I don't know, like gritty, you know, gritty bluesy sound, I guess.
I didn't smoke for too long
in my life, so you know, you can't blame it on that.
Okay, because you do have that voice that suits the blues. It's got that feeling to it and the sound to it. So definitely, we'll look forward to hearing your take on those songs.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody likes them.
Well, I'm excited to share the next song here, which is, you mentioned earlier, Life Worth Living. Tell us about the writers on it, and you mentioned it's a warm song. It put a smile on my face as I listened to it, which is a good thing. So tell us about the writers and the song itself before we share it.
Sure, yeah. The writers, I love the writers. I mean, I've known Marley Scott for years and years, and she's just a total sweetheart. And she lives in Nashville now, but she's a true Canadian. And Jason Blaine, we all know Jason Blaine as well. And so it's, you know, it's an honor to be able to sing a song that both of them have written. And it actually was pitched to me a while back, and I just fell in love with it right away. And again, like you said, it just puts a smile on your face, and it is a feel-good song, and it's that type of song that just kind of makes you remember the real things in life, you know, and the reason why, you know, we're meant to wake up in the morning and feel good, and that it's about the small things. And when you, you know, turn to the person beside you, or you look at your children, or, you know, just beauty outside, and it's not meant to necessarily be all cheesy, but it's just meant to be real. And this is real. This is life, and it is worth living. And these are the reasons why it is worth living. And there might be days that are hard. You know, those are the things to kind of, hopefully we can all get past the hard things, and it's how you kind of move on from them and look around at the things that really do matter. And that's my take on their writing. And I think they did a beautiful job on what they wrote, and I'm just very thankful and glad that they thought of me in pitching it. So
here is my guest now with that song, Vancouver, British Columbia's Karen Lee Batten and Life Worth Living on In the Country.
It's the morning cup of coffee, the smell of summer rain, a smile from a stranger on a crowded downtown train. It's a love without condition between a mother and a child. The power of a river flowing fast and running wild. It's life, life worth living. It's the holding on and the letting go. Twist of fate, sundown in Arizona, staying out real late, waking up the morning after, summer burning on your skin, a love that breaks your heart, but still you do it all again. First time on your own, in the car that carries freedom, and you so far away from home. It's falling in and out of love, it's the roller coaster ride, it's saying hello, and it's saying goodbye. It's life, life.
And that's a brand new song you're hearing for the first time on In the Country. It's going to be part of Karen Lee Batten's upcoming album to be released in May. You can head to her website, KarenLeeBatten.com, to stay on track of that album's release. Karen, it has been such a great pleasure having you back on the show. It's been so long since your last appearance. Great to chat with you again and to hear this awesome new music.
Thank you so much, Dave. I really, really appreciate it and appreciate your support. You know, without you guys and fans and friends and everybody that's just kind of had my back over the years and, you know, watched the progress and the ups and downs and all that jazz, you know, without you guys, honestly, you guys are what makes us do this. And so I can't thank you enough for having me a part of your show.
Well, I can't wait to see how the album does, how well it does, and the new single that's out there. Again, our listeners, call your local country stations to request the song. It makes a big difference and get that buzz going. Thanks so much, Karen. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
My guest has been country artist Karen Lee Batten from Vancouver, British Columbia. Up next, we head to Sudbury, Ontario to speak with Larry Berrio.
In the Country with Dave Woods has been broadcasting live from Ontario, Canada since 2009. Over the years, Dave has welcomed the biggest names and the newest voices of country music on his show. He grew up on country and embraces the past and present and gets excited about the new singers and songs played on the radio every day. Dave has interviewed country stars like Michelle Wright, Gord Banford, and Carolyn Don Johnson. If you enjoy hearing the stories behind your favorite songs or how a singer got their start, then tune in to In the Country with Dave Woods. He always gets to the heart of country music.
Sudbury, Ontario country artist Larry Berrio infuses his country sound with a rock and roll edge. In 2010, he released one of his singles called Rocktown. That song was written by Larry and was dedicated to miners around the world. Being from a mining town and his dad a retired miner, Larry raised personal funding from local businesses to shoot the one-of-a-kind video. That video was released and got lots of play on CMT for about 8 months. Larry has just released a brand new single and video called No Guts, No Glory. My pleasure to welcome Larry Berrio to the show. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
I'm doing terrific up here.
Your songs are always so full of energy. This is no exception. No Guts, No Glory. And the video is dedicated and all about extreme sports.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, being born and raised up in Northern Ontario, I've always had it in the back of my mind after we did the RPM album. I wanted to do an album that would feature extreme sports, basically, that we do up in Canada. We have our four seasons. And so I thought, you know, this would be really great to bring in, especially the snowmobiling part, because none of it has ever been featured in a music video. A lot of mud bogging and ATVing kind of stuff has been in the past, but nothing really to feature snowmobiling.
Pretty cool. It puts that Canadian touch into the video, because that is something that is pretty uniquely Canadian. I'm sure it's done other places, but it's definitely something that signifies you're Canadian.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of good feedback on it so far. We wrote the song down in Nashville and recorded it down there. And it took us 2 years to film the music video because we needed the footage of the spring and the summer with the mud. And in midsummer for the motocross with the dust tracks. And then obviously last winter, again, some snow cross footage and some powder riding. And I was very fortunate enough to be driving most of the all-terrain vehicles, from the snowmobiles to the jacked-up four-wheel drive to the side-by-sides. And I'm driving the majority of them in the video as well.
Pretty amazing. And the song, as I read online, written by a couple of guys that a lot of people will know, Gil Grant, Adam Fears. Adam is a guy from Texas who's a great singer-songwriter. Gil Grant was on the show not too long ago, and, of course, he's from Sudbury and a great country artist himself.
Yeah, that's correct. Gil and I went to school together, and we've known each other growing up. It's kind of ironic that he's down in Nashville, and we've worked together on my first record, the RPM album, together, and we've already been, you know, we've always been in contact, and every time I go down to Nashville, we always set up some songwriting sessions, so he could see, the kind of angle that I'm attacking all the time, and he loves writing with me all the time, because he says it's just a little bit different, because I'm just doing a little bit of, you know, the country edge, a little rock a bit, and I'm trying to bring in, especially with No Guts, No Glory, kind of like the blues rock part of it as well. My favorite instrument is the harmonica. I play guitar, and I mostly play harmonica at my shows, and I really want to start bringing in that touch of the blues country feel into my music.
Nice, nice. Our last guest, Karen Lee Badden, was talking about her new album with some blues influences on it as well, which I love the blues. It's such a great style of music.
Well, you know what, and that's where pretty well country music had gotten started. You know, when you look back to the Elvis Presley days and all that stuff, it was between gospel and blues, and, you know, it got into country music, and, you know, it always followed itself really nicely. And today, obviously, the genres of music that we have today are so vast. You know, sometimes you hear music and they're not even sure what music, you know, genre they're going to play it in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so far out. But you know what? Bottom line, it's always down to the general public and what they love and what they hear and, you know, what they promote. So
that's right. With the title of the song, No Guts, No Glory, was it a case where that title sparked the song, or did the title sort of find its way once you started writing?
I had the idea of what we were going to do, and then we went down and we were sitting with Adam Fears and Gil, and I said I wanted to write a song about extreme sports and everything. And actually that night in the motel room, I had come up with something like, you know, something about glory and whatever, and we actually come up with the name while we were writing the song, which was nice. Which was really cool.
Now, the question I have to ask at this point, hearing that song and, of course, Rocktown, do you sing ballads? Do you slow things down and sing a love song or a hurting song?
You know, I do. I was just speaking to my wife about it, and we were talking about actually my next single that I'm going to release later on the summer, and she's been after me for years to release a ballad. I do sing ballads. I love Keith Whitley. I sing Keith Whitley very well. I have a lower voice, and I love that. I do sing ballads, and when I do, I get so many compliments off it, and I do get some requests that people, you know, want me to release ballads. The only tough thing is being an independent Canadian recording artist is that a lot of times the market is so swamped by the U.S. major market by releasing ballads. Because ballads are the number one hit makers. So, you know, it's tough because when you do release a song to radio, you know, radio's going, well, you know, we're going to look at the quality of the song and where it was recorded and what type of song. And, you know, generally they're going, if it's an upbeat song, the better, because we get so many ballads.
I hear that a lot. I do hear that the radio is looking for up-tempo more than ballads. To me, I love ballads, but as you said, maybe it's just a case of there's an overflow of ballads being pitched to them.
Yeah, but once you establish your name, then people start recognizing the name and going, okay, you know, he's, you know, I've released, this will be my seventh single to radio in the past, you know, 3-4 years now, and they've all been up-tempo. So it's ready now that we're going to hit them hard and we're going to come out with a really, really type of ballad. And Keith Whitley's been a big influence, you know, in my life. That in Alabama. And Alabama, they built their career on ballads.
They did.
And so that's definitely going to be the angle. My next song that's going to be coming out will definitely be a mid-tempo to, for sure, a ballad.
Love that. And I love Keith Whitley. Back in the day, Don't Close Your Eyes, No Stranger to the Rain. And Alabama's my favorite country group. So I had all their albums, as you said, the ballads they did, and from to the up-tempo stuff, mountain music and so forth. Two great to artists to mention there. Okay, we're going to play No Guts, No Glory now, when I'll encourage people to check out the video as well later on. Head over to YouTube to watch the extreme sports element. When you're performing a song like this live, and like most of your songs, so much energy. Do you enjoy being on that stage and delivering songs like this?
Absolutely. I think that's what keeps me going, is doing the live shows. When I first started singing, I've been doing this for 16 years now, full time. And my first year, I bought myself a wireless mic, and I've been using a wireless mic ever since. And I can't get away from it. I have a special Bullet harmonica mic that I use as well. And it's live entertaining that's where I shine the most. And I think that's why we wanted to release the first album with no ballads on it, so that I can perform it live at festivals.
Yep.
And there's no slow songs. It's just, you know, good, fun, strong, happy, fast songs.
Awesome. Well, let's share the new song now. People, this is one of those great songs. I don't know, you want to exercise too. You want to get pumped up for whatever reason.
That's right.
This is the song to play. It'll keep you going for the full 3 minutes. My guest, Larry Berrio, No Guts, No Glory on In the Country. And that is my guest from Sudbury, Ontario, Larry Berrio, and his new song, No Guts, No Glory. Be sure to head to his website, larryberrio.com. Got another song from Larry coming up a bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. Now, you've mentioned, Larry, that you're performing for about 16 years full-time. Do you have advice? Can you offer some advice for anyone listening who maybe is starting out as a singer-songwriter and is looking for a bit of advice to how you get moving in the music career?
Well, you know what? There's so much has changed, Dave, and I'm sure that you have noticed it over the years. And, you know, I started playing when it was, you were allowed to smoke in bars, smoke-filled bars. That was the big thing. It was you had to play across Canada. I had a big Greyhound tour bus with a trailer behind it, and I toured across Canada 8 times playing nothing but bars. And that was the way that you had to make it. Today's, day and age of YouTube and, American Idol and all that kind of stuff, in some way it's unfortunate where there's so many people that just think they just need that one break on YouTube or go into American Idol and, it's going to be overnight success for them. And it isn't. It's still all about the bottom line, which is music. You have to be very passionate about what you do. You can't look at it as thinking, okay, I'm going to do this for a year and I'm going to give it one try and I'm going to try to put a single out on YouTube, and if I don't become a star overnight, then I'm just going to drop it. It's something that you have in you. You have to be able to be passionate about your music and say, you know what, this is something I'm really excited about. It's something I want to do. I'm not doing it because I'm going to be Carrie Underwood by next year. It's something that will take some time. And, there are people that do become overnight successes. There are some that will it'll take a lifetime, you know, of working hard and to make it. And then bottom line as well, too, Dave.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say those are great words there because a lot of people do watch these idol shows and so forth and think it happens, you know, overnight, and yet a lot of times, well, in most cases, the overnight successes have like 10 years behind them leading up to that point.
Exactly. And what is your definition of success? You know, as an artist, I think that's what they have to ask themselves as well. Is it by being signed by an American label and have 18 tractor trailers and tour buses and be as big as Carrie Underwood or Shania Twain, or is it just about being comfortable and being able to release an album and being that local hero and just doing an album for themselves that they can say, you know what, I've done it, I've recorded it, I'm really pleased with what I do. You know, I can't be on the road as much because I have family or friends or stuff like that too. So it's also something that everybody just really has to sit back and kind of analyze their type of career and what their definition of success would be.
I love that answer because there are different degrees of success, different for everybody and how they define it and what they want. Did you come from a musical family, Larry? Were you surrounded by music at all, or is it a path you blazed yourself?
It's pretty well. I've blazed it myself. My dad being a miner, and my mom was, you know, a housewife for many years, and she ended up working afterwards. But as for music, nobody really in the family was involved in music. I remember going on a hockey tournament many years ago up in Quebec, and that's when Kiss came out with their 8-track called Love Gun. And everybody in the hockey team bought the A-track, and I was the only guy on the hockey team that bought a Johnny Cash A-track. I grew up just, you know, watching Smokey and the Bandit was one of my favorite movies, and, you know, Cannonball Run and Dukes of Hazzard, and I just, I loved that whole cowboy style and the music that went behind it.
It's such a cool sound, too, and it's amazing how there are people who might not be so-called country fans, but they love guys like Johnny Cash and a lot of the Outlaws, for example. Johnny Cash seems to have appealed to a lot of people who like a lot of different genres.
Absolutely. Again, I grew up listening to him and Jerry Reed. Alabama was my absolute favorite band growing up. I saw them live back in the 80s. And 2 years ago, I had the chance to play the Boots and Hearts Festival and met Alabama behind stage. I played a little bit before them, but I got a chance to meet the whole band. And it's kind of, you know, ironic how things go. I entered a talent show contest 16 years ago, and the song that I sang in the talent show contest was Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. I didn't win the talent show contest, and about 3 years ago, I opened up for Brooks and Dunn in Kingston and in my hometown of Sudbury. So it's just kind of weird how things, you know, turn around sometimes.
Yeah. That is pretty amazing. Now, you mentioned Alabama, and you had a chance to meet them, which is so cool. Is there anybody else, I'm sure there are others, who can you name that you would still like to meet and maybe even share the stage with?
I've been very fortunate to share the stage with Terry Clark, Brooks and Dunn. I did a show with Tim McGraw in Milwaukee. There are a lot of people. I wish Keith Whitley was still around. He was such a big fan. You know, I was such a big fan of his, and I loved his music so much. I've learned to realize that throughout the years of being a performer and entertainer and after meeting a lot of big stars, that they're just like you and I that have talent that got recognized. But there are certain people I'd love to meet. Alan Jackson, I think it's just because he's, I'm a family man. I have a wife and two kids, and so does Alan Jackson. And just the type of music that he writes about, and, you know, he's still married after all of these years. And it's the type of people like that that are really down home, you know, that have still their, you know, still have their loyalties to their families after all these years of being famous. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing that they can have that success, keep the family together, and just enjoy all that comes with that. Want to turn to a song. Speaking of family, we have a song of yours called Family Barbecue. Larry, what can you tell us about this fun song before we share it?
This song here, I went down with a good friend of mine, Thomas Wade, and we were sitting down and said, I want to write a song about my family. and I'm very close to my family, and said, I want to write a song about it, and whether it's a ballad or whatever. And we tried writing, we sat down, and we were just banging our heads together going, man, this is a really tough song to write. And Thomas turned it around. He says, why don't we do a fun song? And I wasn't keen about it. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, let's talk about the truth about, you know, that, you know, Uncle Jimmy's showing up, and you know that he's going to drink a bunch of beer and turn into an idiot at the party. And, you know, sometimes you don't get along with your sister because everybody's drinking or, you know. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if that's going to go over well. I'm not sure how my parents are going to approve of this. And he goes, let's just make it fun. And we started writing it. And next thing you know, it was like, this is going to be a fun song. So the song is just based about the family get-together is coming over, and the in-laws are coming over, and it's basically, you know, hide the good liquor, and we got to get a lot more beer, and, you know, hide the china and take out all the paper plates, because it's just going to be one of those afternoons where it's just going to be crazy, right. You know. And it turned out so fun, and I got so much good feedback on Facebook and my website about it going, how did you know that was my family? You wrote a song about my family. And, you know, it's just, it was really fun, and it turned out a lot of fun.
Love that. And, of course, we all know Thomas Waite, great country artist himself, songwriter, super guy, as you know. So it's great that the two of you were able to write this.
Yeah, it sure was. He was a great guy to sit down with. And, you know, and even he co-produced the song. And when we went into the studio and I played harmonica on it, and we really produced it together, and it turned out so great. It was really fun once we were done, never even thinking that I was going to release it to radio. And once we released it to radio, it was good. It's, you know, the feedback, we still get it now. And in the springtime, I still get some radio stations saying, we got to air this song because we're treating barbecue season. And, you know,
that's awesome. Let's check out Family Barbecue from Larry Berrio on In the Country.
Gotta get it ready, got a lot to do. It's our turn for the family barbecue. Hide the good liquor, get a lot more beer before Uncle Johnny and Jimmy get here. Pull out the paper plates and plastic knives. There's gonna be a fight. You can choose your friends and choose your wife. The house you live in and the car you drive. Milk or sugar and your coffee or tea. But you can't choose your family. I hope Aunt Lucy don't take off her clothes. I hope a little Stevie stops picking his nose. Hide everything that ain't nailed down. Cause things go missing when your sister's around. If we can keep our brothers in separate rooms, we could still have a house come Sunday at noon. You can choose your friends and choose your wife. The house you live in and the car you drive. Milk or sugar and your coffee or tea. But you can't choose your family.
Sudbury, Ontario's Larry Berrio taking us to the family barbecue for some good times, hiding the good liquor and getting out more beer. Great song.
Thank you very much.
That's got to be fun, not only writing that, but performing it and looking out at the audience and people are cracking up.
Exactly. And it's, you know, I've noticed that we just did a fundraiser over the past week and we did an acoustic show and raised some money for our family out here, and you know, people yelled at a family barbecue, and we did Rocktown, and it was just, it was great, and seeing people sing along, but it's funny when you do, like you say, you sing the family barbecue and actually see people chuckling in the background, you know, you can see them laughing about the song because they can relate to it so much.
Well, Rocktown was such a meaningful song, and you shot that video for it with the cool shots that people can check out on YouTube, dedicated to miners and Rocktown, Sudbury, Ontario. That has to be awesome to have that out there for people to still watch to this day.
It is. I get so many good feedback out of it because people don't realize how many mines there are, let alone in Canada. And when I did my Cross Canada tour, I did some research on it, and we have over 500 mines across Canada that employ just over 1.5 million people, and that doesn't include all the subcontractors. We have all kinds of mines, the salt mines, gold mines, nickel mines, you know, it's unbelievable. People don't see it because it's underground, so they just see the tower that's basically sticking above ground, but we do have a lot of mines, and we get so much good feedback on it. 2 years ago, we were all prepared and everything. I was hired by Red Path Mining, and they were flying me out to Indonesia to play for the largest gold mine in the world. And we had our flights paid and everything. And unfortunately, the mine, not Red Path, but the gold mine in Indonesia, declared a strike the week before we were flying out. So it looks like we're going to be going possibly this September to perform at the 6,000 feet up in the mountains at the largest gold mine in the world. Yeah, back about, you know, the mining again. Yeah, it was a great song, and it's still probably one of my favorites to play.
What about cover songs? Can you throw out a couple of names of cover songs, of course, songs we would know that you like to do in your shows?
Absolutely. I do Eastbound and Down, the Jerry Reed version. I do Keith Whitley, Don't Close Your Eyes. I do a couple of songs by Kenny Chesney, Don't Happen Twice, just one of those, you know, one of his first songs that he came out with that I really, really enjoyed playing all the time.
Yeah.
I do some Trace Adkins.
Yeah, your voice would suit Trace Adkins for sure.
Yeah.
Deep voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good match.
So we do throw some covers into the show to have some fun, and then also I'll do some covers, like I'll do Here for a Good Time by Trooper, which is a Canadian band and everything, which is we have a lot of fun doing that. It's great. We've been having a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to a really good summer this year doing some touring.
Can people check out tour dates at LarryBerrio.com? Good place to find those.
We're building them up right now. We haven't listed any of the festivals on there yet, but we have about four of them already into place, and then we're going to be working into the East Coast into Quebec as well, because my background is French, and actually my last name is actually Berrio. It's pronounced Berrio, but I just changed the spelling of it so that it's easier to pronounce it. My grandparents are from the East Coast and everything, and we're all Acadian background. And I had the privilege of playing up in Gaspésie, Quebec last year, which was just incredible. And it looks like we're going to be going back doing a couple of shows out there this summer.
Very cool. Great to hear. Our listeners can keep checking out your website to stay up to date on any shows that you are doing. Larry, thanks so much for being on the show. It's such a pleasure to have you here and to share the brand new song, No Guts, No Glory. Again, people can head to YouTube and see the extreme sports video that's going on for that. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Dave. I really appreciate your time today, and look forward to speaking with you again. Probably the next time we'll slow her down and bring in a ballad. Surprise everybody.
That's right, exactly. Keep them on their toes. I love that. Sounds great.
Exactly.
My guest has been country artist Larry Berrio from Sudbury, Ontario. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.